This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This story is part of our episode on becoming visible. 2nd and Arch Street in Philadelphia is just a stone's throw from the Liberty Bell. It's in the heart of the nation's first capital. So when construction workers digging on private land unearthed a box of old bones last fall, it sparked a lot of publicity and then confusion. Who did these bones belong to and how should they be handled? As workers drilled deeper, they hit more bones and then coffins. They soon realized they had basically dug up one of Philadelphia's oldest graveyards. Everybody thought this 300-year-old cemetery had been moved about 100 years ago. So now what? A group of forensic volunteers stepped in, and Alana Gordon met up with them and has this report.
Anthropologist Anna Doty with Philadelphia's Mutter Museum was one of the first on the scene.
It was crazy. It was absolutely just, you know, throw on some work clothes and get down there.
Also leading the charge was Kimberly Moran. She's a forensic archaeologist at Rutgers Camden.
We would monitor the backhoe, and then when we saw something kind of appear, we would do our best to recover it, take some photographs, document it very, very roughly, and then remove the remains and put it in a box.
Normally, digs like this span months or years to carefully map and handle what's uncovered. Each detail can hold clues to the stories hidden in these bones. So how long did they have for this one?
Days. It took about a little bit more than a week.
Just a few days to salvage what they could in the freezing cold.
That Friday, we had a horrible snowstorm.
They put out the bat signal, or trowel signal, for backup. In came guys like George Leader.
And so I just went down one day to say, hey, is there anything I can do to help out?
He's an archaeologist with the College of New Jersey.
It was difficult with a backhoe working around you, lots of other jackhammers going on in other parts of the site. You know, it was a very difficult situation to work in.
40 or so volunteers, with the help of the construction workers, unearthed the remains of about 80 people. In the scurry to get every one of them safely stowed away, the remains wound up scattered among three locations. Some are in one of Doty's rooms at the Mutter Museum. Others are stashed away at this hidden third-party storage unit somewhere in South Philadelphia.
So we're opening up the plastic on each of these coffins, figuring out which number that individual is, and then measuring the size of the platter that they're sitting on.
Doty, Moran, and Leader are here weeks after the dig to finally tally what they've got.
22?
Yeah.
Doty says they're excited, but stressed.
Now that the weather is getting warmer, it's really imperative that we get them out.
But Leader is hopeful.
And I think we're going to find some really interesting things about Philadelphia and ultimately our nation's history.
This next phase will involve new challenges. Excavation was just the first step in gleaning details. Now they'll have to go through the boxes of bones, taking meticulous notes to piece together clues.
You guys already pulled this one out.
Is that dirt that's just going to pop off there? Yeah, I think so.
They're already starting that process at Moran's lab, where the rest of the remains are in temporary storage.
Look at this nose. Oh, beautiful.
Oh my God.
This is archaeology heaven for them. They're like the kids who found the secret candy drawer. Except for them, it's bones and skulls.
That's a big prominent nose.
That is a prominent, that person had a prominent, I believe the scientific word is schnoz.
Ultimately, they'll want to figure out the skeleton's gender, age, and other biological profiles.
Wow.
What do you get there?
It's cool. It's a toothbrush.
For Leader, the king-size Snickers bar is the artifact.
I've never seen a toothbrush like that.
He says you can learn a lot when objects are associated with human remains. This toothbrush is made of some kind of bone. Why would a toothbrush be in a coffin?
Your guess is as good as mine, but it would make sense, though, because we had some remains with some really nice teeth. Yeah.
This entire project is on top of their day jobs. The group has launched a crowdfunding campaign and are looking into grants to do a proper analysis.
But look, here's the pelvis.
Ultimately, the bones will be laid to rest. But before then, Moran hopes to create a field course at Rutgers this summer so students can help out and learn. She says she's curious about what these bones might reveal about the experiences of these long-dead individuals, maybe even their actual identities. It's going to be a lot of work and will involve some archival sleuthing. but it's the kind of mystery forensic archaeologists dream of taking on. And beyond that, Moran sees it as a responsibility.
So it's a wonderful opportunity to really help these forgotten people to be remembered.
For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.
Oh my goodness.
Is that
check
hair?
Out, yeah, check out
yeah,
the
Yeah, look at that.
Wow. Now, that's why I'm getting it cleaned up to see if there's trauma associated with it. Is that a femur or a tibia?
Yeah, a tibia.
There you go. Look how long that tibia is.